Nation takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
At the rate of inflation, what would the $6 million man be worth today?
That's a good question.
But the lady sent me the wrong shirt. The one I got had Huey, Dewey, and Louie on the front of it.
Is that true?
At least he didn't say, you know, Larry, Moe, and Curly.
Yeah.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Trivia Friday. Right here on American Family Radio. Thanks for joining us on this. Whoa.
Yes, it
it's
is.
February 13th,
yes,
brother.
Friday the 13th.
I just now looked at my calendar. I didn't know what day it was.
I was walking down the hall, and right after I broke a mirror, I walked into this ladder, and I looked at the calendar, and I said, whoa, it is Friday the 13th. And then that black cat ran in front of me.
Well, what could go wrong, right?
All right, welcome, everybody. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and J.J. Jasper, and we're here for Trivia Friday, also known as
Learning University.
Learning University is on the air. We're going to ask three trivia questions each, and we're going to ask you to call in and answer one and ask one. How about that? So that's what we do every Friday here on American Family Radio. Dispense edumacation.
Oh, yeah.
Across the fruity plain.
We're dispensing it.
We're dispensing it. And we got a lot going on. If you call in today, and JJ, tell them about the
mystery question.
Yeah.
Yeah, these three each are original questions out of the original nine questions. One is a mystery question.
It's a mystery question.
And if you happen to land on it, mm-hmm. answer it correctly, you'll hear this sound. Ah, the beloved cowbell. And that means you win yourself a really nice hardback book, 100 Bible questions and answers on prophecy and the end times. Our own Bert Harper and Alex McFarland. This is really nice. It's a hardback book.
Yes.
And that's what you'll win if you answer the mystery question.
Amen. And things are not going especially well in the world, so you may want to get this book
now,
sooner rather than later.
Right. So, 'cause you may, by the time it gets to you,
maybe the end times may be over.
Well, you never know.
Yeah.
You never know. What else we got going on here?
Well, listen, this is, if you have not been on the air with us in the last 8 weeks, today could be your day. Here's the number to call.
So 8 weeks.
8 weeks.
But if you haven't been on the air with us in 8 weeks, you're eligible.
Yes, that's what I just said.
I'm sorry. Well, you know me.
888-589-8840 is the number to call. Again, as Tim said, if you've not been on the air with us in the last 8 weeks on this show, this could be your day. 888-589-8840. You do have to be 11 years old or older to call.
We need
call
a photo
in.
ID, too.
Yes, a photo ID or a passport.
Yeah,
or
some
other
kind of ID.
Yeah.
We need that. So we can save this show.
Yes, that's
see what
right.
I did there?
The Save Act.
See what I did there?
That's right.
All right, is that it? We don't have any JJ travel plans?
Yes, sir. Thank you for asking.
A couple things this week.
Yeah, already did a Valentine banquet. Want to say hi to some new friends at First Free Will Baptist Church in Boonville. Wonderful time. Great food, great fellowship.
Boonville, Mississippi.
Yes, had some listeners come up and had some people say how much they enjoyed Trivia Friday. Then, Saturday night, I'll be at Family Farm in Glen Rose, Arkansas, right over from Malvern, Arkansas. Valentine banquet. Yeah, tomorrow. That's tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then,
glad I reminded you.
Whew, yeah.
I need to gas up the car.
And then
throw that extra pair of jeans in the back.
Right. I got some ironing to do as soon as I get off. Thank you for that.
Oh, man.
Then Sunday morning, I'll be speaking at First Baptist Church in Locksburg, Arkansas. Actually, Valentine banquet at night, but it's all filled up. So if you're nearby, you want to come over,
Do they have a room where they can go and watch you on a big screen?
No, no.
You know, an overflow room?
No overflow room. So, but you can come Sunday morning, First Baptist Church, Locksburg, okay. Arkansas, and I cannot
You'll be there?
Wait. I'll be there. Yeah, Melanie's
going with me. How long is your
message? It's not going to go long.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to be mindful of that.
Okay.
Yeah, good.
My dad always said, and this is not new with him, but he always said he was a preacher.
Right.
And he said, you know, I am well aware that the mind can only comprehend what the seat can endure.
Yes. That's right. That's right. I try to be mindful of that as well.
My dad's messages were about 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah. And listen, his books that he wrote were like that. They were concise,
right.
But powerful. And I guess it proves the point.
My golf swing.
Concise and powerful.
Yeah. I didn't see that coming.
I didn't either.
Homiletics, that's the word that Ed's looking for. That's why I'm here, for my intellectual prowess. Homiletics, you know, building a sermon that's going to be succinct, get to the point.
Yep.
And if you wonder what kind of preacher our founder was, it's my turn. You know,
yes.
Those are like his sermons, and they're timeless, and there's so much wisdom. When he shares those, which he wrote and recorded in the 90s, they sound just as relevant as if he did it this week.
Timeless truths. Yes.
I would appreciate prayers for travel and, of course, to plant seeds, and I love meeting AFR listeners.
All right, Ed, what do you got, my friend?
All right, here are my three questions. First one is a multiple choice. I've been doing multiple choice here. I kind of like that. Because I don't feel bad. The question can still be a little bit challenging.
Yes, it can be.
But you're giving options. So here's the first question. The first internet network was launched in what year? The first internet network was launched in what year? 1959, 1969, 1979, or 1989? The first internet network. Second question. In what John Wayne movie was he killed, getting stabbed by a lance, and then blown up? In what John Wayne movie was he killed, getting stabbed by a lance, and then blown up? I know this is not super hard because I asked Jonathan Coker, the director of AFR, this question, and he named it right off the bat because he's a John Wayne fan. And then final question is a true-false. Under the right conditions, water can boil and freeze at the same time. Is that true or false? Under the right conditions, water can boil and freeze at the same time. Is that true or false?
Here's what I've got. First question, which war hero, later the 7th U.S. president, led Americans to victory in the Battle of New Orleans? Second question, this famous actor's real name was Marion Robert Morrison. Name him. Third question, true or false, if you write out the numbers, you know, O-N-E-T-W-O, starting with zero, the first 1,000 numbers don't have the letter A in them. Is that true or false? If you write out the numbers, starting with zero up to 999, you write the numbers out, there's not an A. Is that true or false?
Hmm.
What was that freezing question real quick again?
Under the right by the way, this is a tip of the hat to John, who sent this to me. Under the right conditions, water can boil and freeze at the same time. True or false?
I saw that on David Copperfield.
And then he disappeared.
I'm going to disqualify myself.
Yes.
And then he disappeared.
That's fair to do that. Hey, my daughter, my daughter Maddie, a few years ago, you know, when they're getting all these things on all these, like, whatever, you know, Instagram or whatever. So they said you could take boiling water, go out there when it's snowing, throw it up in the air, and it'd turn into dust. And she did
dust?
That. Yeah. Well, and
it looks like dust.
Yeah. And we did that. She did that, and just seeing her with a bubbling cauldron of hot water and then slip a little bit walking outside, ice, snow, and like, oh, man, if you'd poured that over on you. And then she threw it up in the air, and it was the craziest thing that it just turned into just a cloud of
Yeah. Where was this? Yeah.
It was like in our house.
Just type it on the Google. You can watch 1,000 of those things. I watched 900 of them.
Was the letter A in any one of them?
I'm talking about what JJ just described.
Yeah. Hot. Well, I'm talking, she took it off the stove, boiling and bubbling, walked out the door. It has to be like whatever in the teens or whatever temperature-wise. She threw that up in the air, threw it while she was slipping, and then it just turned into dust.
If I hadn't seen it with my own eyes,
it's
one of those, hey, y'all, watch this moments. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, here are my three questions. Number one, what fresh fruit can be kept fresh for over a year if it's cold enough?
Huh.
I'm not talking about dry freezing it, I'm talking about sitting on the shelf.
You're talking about under normal circumstances? Yeah,
under normal circumstances. So what fresh fruit can be kept fresh for over a year if it's cold enough? Number two, it's the only fruit that can do that I'm aware of. I researched that. Number two, this is a hard question, so if you answer this correctly, we're going to send you the Bible, the 100 questions, 100 Bible questions and answers on prophecy in the end times. We're going to send that to you if you can answer this question. Now, you need to be able to answer this question without looking it up in the Bible, okay? Nothing wrong with
that. To
get the book, yeah. But here's the question. Kind of a difficult question. Name the 12 disciples of Jesus. You would think you should know that. Yeah. You should know that.
No, that's difficult.
My wife and I, we were at dinner last night, and I said, I think I'm going to use this as a trivia question. And then we began to look at each other like, can you do it? She was like, let me write them down. And when she was writing them down, we had to both work together.
Yeah, yeah. So, you get to Theodore Geisel after... a couple of the ones you go, wait, I think that was Dr. Seuss. I don't think he was a disciple.
Right, disciple. So here's that. Without looking that up in the scripture, name the 12 disciples of Jesus, and we'll send you the book, and you'll be considered one of the top students.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, there you go. You can put a cord on when you walk during the graduation.
My final question. This is a baby boomer Olympic question. Who won the gold medal in women's figure skating in 1976 and became America's sweetheart?
Come on.
All right. Baby boomers, most baby boomers are going to remember this. Especially the girls. Who won the gold medal in women's figure skating in 1976, the bicentennial year?
I do know it.
And became America's sweetheart. All right, let's go, Ed.
And that was, I became America's sweetheart soon after
you did,
that.
But Ed.
This is 76.
Yours so wasn't Olympic
related.
Don't
try to steal her glory, though, okay? Don't try to do that.
All right.
I'd like to see you figure skate.
I'd pay to see that.
I would pay for that.
Yeah, you guys would.
you're talking about something going viral.
But hold up now. A Boston boy, you grew up ice skating, right?
I did not. I didn't skate much.
Wait, and you call yourself a Yankee? You weren't out there on the ice?
I not only call myself a Yankee, I are one.
All right, let's go.
All right, we go to Somerset, Pennsylvania. We're just specific on this one, and Drew is on the line. Drew, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Well, good morning, and thank you. I'm a first-time caller.
Wonderful.
All right, and you're left over from last week. Thank you for your patience and for waiting all week. This is tremendous. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. I knew the answer last week. I'm not sure I can help you this week.
Hey, did it ever thaw out up there, Drew?
The high is supposed to be 29 today, so
that's
heat wave.
That's disappointing.
Yes.
Anyway, all right, which one do you want to try to answer?
Well, I'll just do the easy true or false. Can water boil and freeze at the same time? I'm just pulling at straws. I'm going to say true.
All right, so the question is, under the right conditions, water can boil and freeze at the same time. Drew says that's true. It is true.
What?
You can believe this.
Let's go, Drew.
Nicely done. Way to start us out. But how is that even possible?
Water can boil and freeze at the same time under specific conditions known as the triple point, where temperature and pressure are perfectly balanced to allow solid, liquid, and gas to coexist. Isn't that crazy?
I don't even understand. What
no, you're I remember now. The triple threat. Yeah,
triple
that was
point.
It. Now that so you should have mentioned that it wasn't on Earth that you had to be out in outer space for that to happen.
No, this can happen on Earth. That's kind of amazing. Now, to Tim's point, I did copy and paste the explanation for this from the science website. I got it, but that doesn't mean I understand the explanation.
Okay. Well, anyway, way to go, Drew.
Yes.
Just for...
Well, thank you.
Well, you know, you make a lucky guess.
Coin toss.
Yeah. All right, fire away. What do you got for us?
Okay. What person in the Bible prays an imprecatory prayer, not just once, not twice, but three times?
They're praying while they're pregnant? What'd you say?
Imprecatory. That's prayer of judgment.
Okay.
An imprecatory prayer is one that calls for the enemy to experience God's curse. So what person in the Bible prays this prayer not once, not twice, but three times?
Is this pretty well-known person in the Bible? Not obscure?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm kind of going to Balak because three different times, you know, they led him up there, but he sort of unintentionally... that was more blessing Israel than he was.
Can we give you our
praying.
Final answer? Don't say anything,
I'm just going to throw Balak out there.
You got a better answer than that?
I don't have a better answer. I'm just guessing. I'm going to say Jeremiah.
He was big on that, wasn't he?
He's pretty big on
it. He lamented on a lot of things.
Now, there are imprecatory psalms. You're not talking about that, Drew, right? You're talking about prayers.
Prayers.
Yeah, it's probably going to be, I think it's going to be Jeremiah or Ezekiel. I can't remember.
David prayed harsh, you know, judgment against his enemies.
They could be.
We need an answer, fellas. Yeah.
I'm changing mine from Balak to David.
All right, and.
I'll go Jeremiah.
All right, that's what we got, Drew. What say you?
Okay, Nehemiah. It's in chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 is the first prayer, then in chapter 6, verse 14, and then in chapter 13, verse 29. And the reason I ran upon that is I'm currently reading the Reformation Study Bible, which R.C. Sproul was a journal editor of, and I really enjoyed listening to him. In the commentary, it says this is the only time this type of prayer was used.
Oh.
So it's a it's called what?
Imprecatory.
Imprecatory. That's
new
for me.
Imprecatory.
Okay, and the nature of the prayer is to pray against your enemy.
You to pray for not
calls
just
for the enemy to experience God's curse.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Hey, thank you, Drew. You taught us something, and
may you experience God's blessing.
That's right.
Amen.
Right, you like how I turned that one around?
That's good.
Thank you, Drew.
Good.
That's from Timothy.
That's from First Timothy.
That's right.
All right, let's go to Arizona. We go from the frigid north to the balmy southwest, and Cammy is on the line. Cammy, welcome to you, Trivia Friday.
Hi there.
Hey, Cammy, Arizona. Wow, we don't get many calls from Arizona. How are you listening to us there?
Well, I'm on the internet, but we live in Eastern Oregon, and we're just down here for a little while in the winter.
Oh, okay, wonderful.
Good call.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But anyway, Cammy, well, thanks for calling. Do you want to ask, answer, or both?
I'd like to do both, but I'm actually riding my bike right now, so I was listening. Trying to listen to the questions that you all said, but maybe yours, Tim, about the fruit that can last.
Okay, Cammy, here's the question. Here's the question you're going to answer. There is a fruit that can be kept fresh for over a year if it's kept cold enough. And there's only one fruit that qualifies here. Huh. I'm not talking
freeze-dried fruit or anything like that.
Straight up on the shelf.
Wow.
What is the answer to that, Cammy?
I want to say some sort of melon, maybe a cantaloupe or a honeydew.
Good guess. Incorrect.
I'm interested in the answer.
Don't give us the answer. You're going to keep the answer
keep
alive,
it. Yeah,
right?
I'm going to keep it. So her guess was a melon.
Yeah.
And that is incorrect.
Do you have a question for us?
I do. Let me get it. It's in my pocket here. Okay. In Judges chapter 7, I just got done reading the book of Judges. It's where Gideon is choosing the men to go with him to fight the Midianites. How many men did he start with, and how many men did he end up using to fight with?
Okay, good question. All right, now, can I?
You sure can.
It's rare. JJ usually, JJ knows the Old Testament. You do too, you guys.
Oh, JJ's
you guys
big
know,
on it.
You guys know the Old Testament very, very well. He ended up with 300, right?
That's what
Gideon?
I would say, yeah.
Gideon, so I got that much right, true?
I think so.
Okay, so but how many he started with?
Started with thousands.
Was it 30,000?
I can't remember.
It was some absurdly
large number.
The Lord
just kept thinning them down. Like some, when you get on, who laps the water with their hand, the other ones that just put their hands there and put their face down and lap the water like a dog, eliminate these this way, eliminate next round to show that he gets the glory. It wasn't Gideon and his strength and his mighty army.
I'm going to say it's even more than that. I'm going to say it's even more than 30,000, if I remember correctly. We don't know exactly. I'm going to say, I don't know, 45. That's my. You're
going
to
say
30?
30?
I'm going to say 30.
I'm going to go with Ed on the 30. All that right. Sounds right. 30,000 down to 300.
Tammy,
how do we
do? What's the answer? Answers.
Really, really close. It was 32,000.
32,000
he started with. And did we get the
300
right?
Yes. 300.
That was you, Tim.
All right, that was me.
Nicely
done. That's the record show. High five and me, baby. How about that Old Testament answer?
Old Testament. Huh? Yes.
I feel good about contributing to the team effort.
Yes,
here.
You
oh,
did.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
300.
Well, listen, you can.
And he won.
Yes. Well, to anyone, God be the glory. Hey, Cammy, keep spinning, and you're doing great following through on your New Year's resolutions to be out there riding your bike and getting in shape.
Thank you, Cammy. Safe journeys there. By the way, that's a great story. That's a great story in the Bible.
Yeah.
The story of Gideon. If you want to read something today, it's pretty compelling and interesting is what I'm saying.
Yep.
And it really boils down to God. God can do a lot with a committed individual.
Right.
And God can do so much with a committed team.
Yes.
A committed church.
And it doesn't matter how many.
Right.
If they're following God.
That's right. And that's kind of the moral of that story, right?
Yeah.
And I know this show is mostly for entertainment, but I want to piggyback on that. There's so many layers. If you haven't read Gideon in a while, he is the smallest one in his family. His family's the smallest one in the clan, in the tribe. And yet the angel comes to him and says, and he was fearful in hiding. He said, Gideon, oh, mighty man of valor. And he said, what? Who, me?
Yeah.
And he just says, look, I'm the smallest and all this. No, God's going to use you. I've chosen you. Then you have the fleece. That's where you have that. That's in Gideon. And then how God, on purpose, narrows the army down to take away the human effort to say, look, I want this to happen. And they go, wow, that had to be a God thing. That's what he wants to do in your life oftentimes. It's not your money or your good looks or your family name. It's God doing the work.
All right, we'll be back momentarily, and we'll repeat our question to more of Trivia Friday coming right up.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
Former Presidents Truman and Johnson died just a few days apart. Their deaths were well publicized. Their funerals were carried on national television. Hardly a person in the country were unaware of their deaths. The papers all carried front page headlines about their deaths. A few days after their funerals, another person died. Like the former presidents, he had contributed much to the good of mankind. In fact, people throughout the world were indebted to his influence and actions. His name was E. Stanley Jones. He was a Christian missionary and preacher, and in a very real sense, a Christian statesman. Very few people were aware of his death. Little, if any, was said about it on national television. Some of the newspapers did mention it, but usually readers found it only on the back page and then only a paragraph. These deaths serve to remind us of the value society places on the life of individuals. No one would dare suggest that the death of a president shouldn't make national news. And according to our standards, it isn't much news when a Christian missionary dies, not even one the caliber of Dr. Jones. However, one wonders what type of reception was given in the next life to these great men. Without in any way trying to belittle the greatness of the presidency, I have a sneaking idea that Dr. Jones' arrival on the other side was publicized more widely than his death on this side. Here in this life, few of us will ever rise to the position of responsibility held by our well-known business and government leaders. Sometimes this causes us to feel that positions of lesser responsibility are of lesser value. And this is a great mistake. For our Creator never judges us on how high a position we hold, but only on how well we fulfill the responsibilities of the position we do hold. It is a matter of small importance with the one who made us if we hold positions of major importance as the world counts importance. But he's very much concerned with how well we perform in the position which he has for us to serve in. Some of the world's greatest people are hardly known outside the community in which they live, but they go at their responsibilities day after day in a sense of genuine faithfulness and fruitfulness. Often the only mention of their death is in the local obituary column. But this life isn't the only life, and in the other life you do not have to be famous or powerful to receive an honorable reception. When we Christians mention the word justice, we aren't speaking only of legal actions. We're speaking also of a reward rightly due. That's the reason that our values and the world's values are often in conflict. Dr. E. Stanley Jones is dead now. Few people in the world knew of his faithful and fruitful work, but God knew. And it is God who passes out the final commendations. While he was little known here, you can bet your bottom dollar that he was well known and received in the new land of forever.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Colossians 1:13.
American Family Radio.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. From the 60s and 70s right there.
I love Lucy, cartoon. One of my favorite shows.
Yabba dabba do. I do that every time when I wake up in the morning.
Do you really?
Yeah, stretch and then say yabba dabba do.
Yabba dabba do. Little dabble do
you. Then I get a cup of coffee, but you got to be careful because one day when I was making coffee, I accidentally used Red Bull instead of water, and I was halfway to work before I realized I left my truck in the driveway.
But I boom.
Yabba dabba do.
All right, yabba dabba do. All right, repeater questions here on Trivia Friday. Go ahead, Ed.
All right. Here's my first question. It's multiple choice. The first internet network was launched in what year? I'll give you some choices here.
Okay.
1959, 69, 79, or 89, the first internet network. Second question. In what John Wayne movie was he killed, getting stabbed by a lance and then blown up?
Wow.
It was a bad day for him, for his character.
Sounds like a 007 movie. Chase somebody across the top of a train, get shot 20 times, get stabbed by a lance.
Retire at the end of the movie and then come back again for the next one.
That's right. Don't even get a wrinkle in your suit or hair gets out of place.
Thurk, I'm going to add a question here. I've had
you
one answered.
One.
Thank you, Tim. Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster originated what famous comic book superhero? Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster originated what famous comic book superhero?
Here's what I've got. Which war hero who later became the 7th U.S. president, led Americans to victory in the Battle of New Orleans. Or if you're a native, New Orleans.
Riding on the Battle of New Orleans.
That's the way it goes. That's exactly how it goes. Second question. This famous actor's real name was Marion Robert Morrison. What do we know him as? Name him. Name the actor, famous actor, whose real name is Marion Robert Morrison. Third question, true or false? I hope I'm making this clear. If you write out the numbers from 0 to 1,000, is O-N-E-T-W-O, you don't use an A. From 0 to 999, you do not use an A in any of those numbers. Is that true or false? See, some of you got that calculator rolling in your head.
I was going to go ahead and write them out. If y'all don't mind, go ahead with the show. I'm going to go over here.
On the room over here.
Well, it might not be true, so you don't want to waste too much valuable time.
Duly noted. All right, my turn. All right, there is a fresh fruit, ladies and gentlemen, that can be kept fresh for over a year if it's cold enough. I'm talking about on the shelf, not freeze-dried or... I'm talking about on the shelf, this fruit can survive fresh for up to a year if it's cold enough. What fruit is that? Only one fruit can do that.
You know how excited the preppers got hearing that? They're so excited.
Noted. All right. Now, for a free, for a book, this is a prize for answering this question. We're going to send you the book that we've offered, 100 Bible Questions and Answers from Prophecy on Prophecy in the End Times. If you can answer this question... and you'll be considered one of our top students ever, quite frankly.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you can answer this question without looking it up in the Bible, okay, if you just know this from heart and you can call in and answer it, we will say either you're the man or you're the woman.
Right.
Okay?
Either one.
So here's the question.
Can't be both, though.
That's right.
It's not that kind of show.
We're pretty strict on that.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
You're going to have to
identify as what you are. All right. Name the 12 disciples of Jesus. Just name them.
That sounds easy, but I don't know all 12. Spit it out.
All right. And finally, the final question, baby boomer question, Olympic question. Who won the gold medal in women's figure skating in 1976? That's back when we all watched the Olympics. We all watched it. And this person became America's sweetheart. What was her name? What is her name? She's still alive, by the way. All right, go ahead.
All right, let's go to Texas. And David is on the line. David, welcome, sir, to Trivia Friday.
Good morning, man. Good to talk to you.
Hey, this is my friend David Johnson. Hey, Doc.
Hey, how are you, JJ?
We're doing good. You didn't get any of that ice or snow, did you? I know some portions of Texas did, but did Tyler get a little bit?
Yeah, we got ice. I was in the house for about 5 days.
Wow.
But I'm a chicken, so.
No, that's wise.
Wait, and doing what?
He said he was a chicken. Look, he was a doctor for so many years. He knows
David,
how easy
it is. David, we've already established you cannot identify as anything but what you really are, okay? You're going to have to come to grips with this, okay? It'd
be so much better for your mental health.
Calling himself a chicken.
Yeah. Hey, so he was a doctor.
I'm a baboon, David.
Look, he was a doctor for many, many years. He knows how easy it is to break an arm or a leg out there on the ice.
Yeah, that's right.
Ask, answer, or do both, my friend.
I'd like to answer your question, JJ, about the New Orleans.
Which war hero, later the 7th U.S. president, led Americans to victory in the Battle of New Orleans?
That would be Andrew Jackson.
Andrew Jackson.
Nicely now, David, which war was this?
The War of 1812, and there's two interesting things about that. Number one, Johnny Horton from East Texas wrote the wonderful song, The Battle of New Orleans. It's a great, funny song. Johnny Horton from East Texas, The Battle of New Orleans. Secondly, the battle was won after the peace treaty had already been signed.
Really?
I remember reading that. Yeah.
Explain that. That's an enigma.
Well, it just traveled.
Communications was slow. They didn't have the internet yet.
It's like finding those Japanese over there in the islands after World War II, like 20 years later.
Right.
Hey, the war's over, by the way. Really? How long has it been over? 20 years.
20 years. But well, we do thank you for your dedication.
Yes.
There'll be a little something extra for you in your paycheck.
Right. We'll give you a button or something to honor your commitment.
Hey, David, great job. Yeah. What's your question for us? A nice little insight with the
digital. Amen. Yeah, I like that.
By the way, just one sentence or two sentences, David. What was the War of 1812? What was the purpose or what was it about?
The British were seizing American ships and taking their seamen to work on British ships. And we told them to stop doing that.
Yeah, we'd already whooped
and
that tail.
And they would stop.
So to speak, once. Yeah, they were told to stop, and so we went to war with them again. By the way, one time, this is a serious, true story. Allison and I had the honor to go to the White House back when President George W. Bush was in office, and because Allison's first cousin worked at the White House, not in a very public position.
Right.
But she did work for the administration there, so she invited us to take an after-hours West Wing tour.
How nice.
Nice.
This would have been in, you know, whenever George W. Bush was in office second time.
In the 90s.
Yeah. Was that
no,
part?
No, George
2000,
W.
2000, George
would be
W.
The 2000s.
Not H.W., yeah. George W. Mm-hmm. So we got the tour at night. I mean, we got to see the Oval Office, the Situation Room, the bowling alley, the press center where they do press conferences every day.
How about the pizza oven?
But you know it. I didn't ask
you
about
to think that.
Did you see Lincoln's bedroom? Because I think that'd be awesome.
Okay, y'all trying to distract me?
No,
go ahead.
Sorry.
Withdraw my comment.
Sorry, Mr. Substitute Teacher. Sorry for asking you all these additional.
Just call me Karen. All right. So, I shouldn't say that, but anyway. We saw a we went outside and there was a black scar on the White House. You can't see it in any of the pictures that the public sees of the White House, but it was out one of the doors and it was above the door and it was fire from the War of 1812 when the British attacked the White House.
They burned the White House.
Wow.
Yes.
And they didn't cover it up because they wanted to, it was history, and they wanted to leave it.
So I was sitting there looking at this burnt mark from 1812.
Wow.
At the actual White House from the war David's talking about with the British.
Isn't that something?
The British burned the White House.
Yeah?
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, hey, David, come see us. We'd love when you come through Tupelo, Mississippi, and stop to see us.
Does he have a question for us?
Thanks. I have a... Yes.
Yes, sir. What's your question
away.
For us?
In celebrating our 250th anniversary, happy birthday, America, this is a question about presidents. Which president was the first to fly on an airplane, and which president was the first to fly in an airplane on official business?
Is that two separate questions?
No, that's one question.
Same president, you're saying.
Oh, it's the same person.
No, it's about presidents, which was the first to fly and which was the first to fly on official business.
All right. Don't do it. I've already asked him, is it two questions? He said one. We just heard him ask two. But we don't want to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If we get deep into this, we get into an argument.
We'll be here till lunch. Yeah.
You know, it's what...
All right, so we're going to talk amongst ourselves here, David. Don't say yes or no. So, I don't know, would you think Teddy Roosevelt or Woodrow Wilson
It would
are in
precede
there?
FDR, wouldn't it?
Oh,
probably
yes.
1930s,
yes.
Probably.
Right.
1930s, I would think. So
maybe Herbert Hoover? I don't know. That's an excellent question.
George Harrison?
See, that's with me.
President George Harrison.
I'm afraid to blurt something out because I might blurt out the name of an old car. I get them mixed up, the cars and the presidents.
The presidents?
They sound interchangeable to me. President Hudson.
I don't know.
President DeSoto.
Who was the president in the 30s? Who was the president?
Herbert Hoover.
Don't say anything, David. We're going to give you an answer in 30 seconds. Who preceded FDR?
I think it was Herbert Hoover.
I'm going to go that.
No, it's going to be earlier than him.
Woodrow Wilson?
Yeah, I was going to say Woodrow Wilson.
You're talking the teens now.
That's right.
Or Calvin Coolidge. All right, you go Herbert Hoover, I go Calvin Coolidge.
Woodrow Wilson.
You go Woodrow Wilson.
And you're who? Calvin Coolidge?
Calvin Coolidge.
Oh, we're going to land on one of those, David.
Theodore Roosevelt in 1910 flew with the Wright brothers in their aircraft. And his fifth cousin... Oh, you didn't answer the second part of the question.
You're making this up. You're making this up as you go along here, David.
You better give us first and the second.
Yeah, you better answer. We'll be here till lunch.
Okay. His fifth cousin, FDR, flew across the ocean for the meetings with the other leaders,
Allied leaders,
on the first president to fly on official business.
It was FDR
in the 1940s. Okay. Yeah, 1938, I think. Yeah.
All right.
Great. Yeah. Excellent.
That's when we see that famous picture, probably of Joseph Stalin, FDR, and Winston Churchill.
Potsdam Conference.
He probably went there on the airplane. Anyway, thank you, David.
Thank you, David.
Who's up next?
That was an excellent.
He's
question.
A pilot. Owned an airplane at one time. His brother was a military pilot. And
talking about David?
FDR?
Yeah, so our caller. He loves aviation. That's part of the reason is a love for the aviation and probably why that question, you know.
Hey, we're going back to Texas, and Deborah is on the line. Deborah, welcome to Trivia Friday. Deborah, you there? Deborah. Oh, I can hear you. Yeah. Hey, Deborah.
Yeah?
Have you turned it? Can you hear us?
Yeah, I don't have my radio on.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard something
in
the background.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear your neighbor's radio on. You need to close your window because we can hear the people in the apartment next to you. They have their radio on. It's causing a delay.
Hey, where do you live in Texas, Deborah?
San Angelo.
All right.
Yeah.
It's
near where
they
round up the rattlesnakes.
What part of Texas? Am I looking at a map of Texas, San Angelo? I know it's in West Texas, right?
Yes. You know where Abilene is.
It's over from Abilene.
If you go south and a little west for about 80 miles, then you'll be in San Angelo.
JJ, were you ever in Abilene?
I lived in Abilene for a winter. I'd hear all the news about San Angelo, and then one of those little towns right next there, they'd have a rattlesnake roundup every year.
Yeah.
Throw all these rattlesnakes in a swimming pool, and they'd have... get the leather from the boots. They'd have rattlesnake to eat. And it just gives me the willies just thinking about all those rattlesnakes crawling around.
That's where kerosene and a match comes in handy.
Oh, man. Diamondback rattlers. Ooh, that just makes my skin crawl.
All right, Deborah, you want to ask it?
I'm not quite sure how they get them rounded up, but I don't really want to know.
I don't want to be in that posse.
In the words of H.W. Bush, not got that. I'm not, or Dana Carvey.
Would not be prudent.
Not got that.
All right, you want to ask, answer, or do both, Deborah?
Do both.
All right. Which question do you want to try to answer?
I'm going to answer the easiest question, mainly because I knew the answer to this back when I was in middle school. And that is, who was Marion Morrison?
Here's the question. This famous actor's real name, was Marion Robert Morrison. Name him, Pilgrim.
Now, if you'd put that in there, anybody could have answered.
Anybody would have.
He dumped it down.
I know I did that for you because I knew you knew the answer.
Yeah.
Yes, it's John Wayne.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I knew it when I was in middle school, but I did.
Well, you just answered the mystery question.
Did you hear that cowbell?
No.
Yeah,
you sure did.
Isn't that easy?
Well...
We don't pick by hard or easy. We just throw one out there and let it be mystery question.
If it's too easy for you, we can pass the book along to somebody else.
Well, really, Deborah, it's how we feel led in terms of the question on the mystery question.
Yeah.
Don't you? We have inspiration on that.
Oh.
So we're going to send you the book for getting the answer right there, Deborah.
Congratulations, Deborah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there you go.
Very good. Thank you.
Stay on the line so we can get your address and send that book to you. But what's your question for us?
My question for you is, what is a hypnic jerk?
A hypnic jerk? Well, that's that guy who cut me off this morning on the way to work.
I think that's a redneck jerk. A hip nick. What is a hip nick jerk?
I've never heard this.
I think it's the fella that fills in for Sister Susan and got that crystal ball, and they give you some advice you don't want to hear, and they're a little bit smart alecky about it.
Yeah, I think it's a game of marbles.
Serious?
When I was in sixth grade.
Oh,
here we go.
You had to go until you got that smart.
If you want to, we would get to school early. We'd bring our bag of marbles, and we would play hip nick jerk.
Okay,
and one was
till the bell rang.
Okay. One was a cat eye marble.
Yeah,
now I remember y'all down in the dirt because you were in that little one room schoolhouse.
All right, is it a game of marbles?
Okay,
or
I am gonna mock you on that.
Okay.
All right, what's the answer, Deborah?
Not even close.
It's a dance.
Do you remember being in a classroom, maybe in a school that didn't have air conditioning, and it's a hot afternoon, and you're dozing off because the teacher's droning on, and all of a sudden you jerk awake?
Yeah.
Oh, is that what
that's
that is?
It's called a hip nick jerk.
I'm glad to know that has a name.
And you snort or something when you wake up? So that has
it also
a name?
It's like if you're sleeping and you dream that you're falling, sometimes you'll jerk awake.
Yeah. So that's what that's called.
I didn't know it had an official name. And I'll tell you, this is the absolute, it's going to sound like I'm making this up, but when my wife and I, when we drive anywhere, I drive the whole way because when anyone else drives, if I start to go to sleep, I will do that. I will suddenly jerk awake.
I think we've all done that.
Yeah,
once in our life driving.
When I'm taking,
I'm serious. Yes. Now I've had crashes because I fell asleep.
Yeah, that's true.
But I'm talking about when you doze off for that 1 second, and then you're shocked back because you realize what you've just done.
Yep.
And your heart's in your throat.
Yeah, that's when you need to get out of your car and run. You know, you need to do something.
Get the blood flowing.
Well, and here's something. I'll fall asleep sometimes like a nap in the afternoon, and then I dream that I'm chasing a rabbit, and my leg a twitch. That's my dog, Jaeger. Never mind.
Your dog, Gator?
Jaeger.
Jaeger.
All right, Deborah.
Deborah, thank you.
We're going to thank you. Going to put you on hold.
Right.
Cindy Roberts will get your information, and we will get that book out to you, and congratulations to you.
Hey, we learned something.
Yep.
All right, you're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Tim, Ed, and JJ. Hey, let's repeat our questions quickly, fellas.
Oh, that's good.
All right, first question. The first internet network was launched in what year? I'll give you a helping hand with some options. 1959, 69, 79, or 89. Which of those years was the launch of the first internet network? Second question, in what John Wayne movie was he killed getting stabbed by a lance and then blown up? And then third question, Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster originated what famous comic book superhero?
All right, here's what I have. First question, true or false, if you write out the numbers starting with zero, Z-E-R-O, and then 1-O-N-E. When you write them out, you won't find an A in the first 1,000 numbers. Is that true or false? Second question, was that clear enough on that? You write those out.
Zero through 999.
There is not an A in any one of those numbers. And then I'll add a couple. Mm-hmm. Baby Boomer TV show. What TV show opened with a voice saying, "Do not attempt to adjust the picture"? What TV show, and I'll just go ahead and say, pretty scary, and it opened mm-hmm. with a voice saying, "Do not attempt to adjust the picture." Then I've got a Bible question. Eli had two sons. It didn't turn out well. Eli in the Bible. Name his two sons.
All right. I tell you what, for this next question, this is hard. I'm going to throw in an AFR ball cap, too. So the question about the disciples. If you answer that right, we're going to send you the book and a ball cap.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Okay, because this is not easy. So I think people are a little intimidated to try. But if you can name the 12 disciples of Jesus without looking in the Bible, that's what I'm looking for, is somebody who knows these by heart.
That's something we should know.
Yeah. So my question is, who were the 12 disciples of Jesus? Name them. Number two, what fresh fruit can be kept fresh for over a year if it's cold enough. It's pretty amazing. This is the only fruit that can survive a year if it's cold enough, fresh. And finally, number three, baby boomer question. Who won the gold medal in women's figure skating in the 1976 Olympics and became America's sweetheart? Who is the name of this lady? Okay, go ahead, Ed.
All right, we're going to go to Washington. That is Washington State. And Bob is on the line. Bob, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Well, thank you. Good morning, fellas.
Hey, Bob, where do you live there in the state of Washington?
Between Mapton and Sunnyside, but I'm originally from Louisiana.
Okay, well, did you take a wrong turn? What happened
you
there?
On the run?
You got family up there or what?
No, the Lord just knew I needed a special lady up there. And
okay.
Oh, there you go.
Well, there you go.
Moved for love.
No, there's the first lyric of your song.
Yep.
Keep working on that, Bob. Left Louisiana okay. for
love of a special woman.
We've had a radio station on in Sunnyside, Washington for a long, long time, and that's in eastern Washington, for those who want to know. All right. Well, Bob, ask, answer, or both?
Both.
Which one do you want to answer?
America's sweetheart question.
Okay, the question I just gave, and Bob is going to answer it. How old are you, Bob?
71.
Okay, then this,
he knows.
This is right in your sweet spot, yeah. Right here on your memory.
Childhood. Yeah.
Well, beyond childhood,
but when he was watching three channels just like we were. He only had three choices on the TV.
Who won the gold medal in women's figure skating in 1976 and became America's sweetheart?
Who could ever forget the smile of Mary Lou Retton?
Okay, well, you're right about that. She had a beaming smile, but she was...
Wrong Olympics and wrong sport.
Yeah, summer. You're thinking summer Olympics. I said women's figure skating. Did you catch that?
Oh, yes, that's right.
How old are you, Bob?
That's right. I'm getting older by the minute.
Okay,
we all are, Bob. Don't worry about it.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you a reset there, Bob, based on your senior citizenship.
Wait, no, it's a senior citizen discount.
It's a senior citizen freebie. You get a mulligan. Go ahead, Bob. What's the name you're looking for?
She had that haircut that all the girls wanted.
Remember that?
Dorothy Hamill.
Dorothy Hamill. I knew you knew it.
It was easy to get it confused because they were roommates. they were roommates at the Olympics.
I want to ask, I think Bob's right. This is back when the Olympics were the same year. Winter, summer were the same year. Do you remember this?
Yes.
And I want to say that Bob's right that in the 76 Olympics, or maybe it was 1980. Take that back.
Yeah, it might have been.
I think Mary Lou, she was
Let me finish. Can I finish?
Yes, sir.
I don't interrupt y'all. So I think it's 1980 for Mary Lou Retton, and she may have come back in 1984 as well for the Summer Olympics, and she was a gymnast. But you're right, Bob. You had it. You knew it. I knew you knew it. Dorothy Hamill was America's sweetheart. So was Mary Lou Retton, but from the 1976 Winter Games. But remember the Dorothy
haircut. The girls got it.
She was 84. 84 Los Angeles Olympics.
84 for Mary Lou Retton. Mary Lou Retton. Okay. All right.
4'9".
Yeah. She couldn't dunk.
No.
But she could evermore jump on a beam and do the things that gymnasts do. There.
Same kind of short hair, too.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Bob, can you hold on through the break for your question for us?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes,
Bob will hold on, and we will come back and go to his question. And, Dorothy Hamill with that haircut that all the girls wanted in 1970s.
I got my hair cut that way, too.
Did you now?
Yeah.
Just
because it was so popular, and I was all about being popular. You don't believe that?
I'm not going to answer that. we're going to be back in just a few minutes after the news, and we'll have 25 more minutes of edumacation coming your way.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.